Let's pray. Father, again, I ask that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart are pleasing to you, are transformational in nature, are nothing but driven by the Holy Spirit. And may some of the words that may be unnecessary fall to the ground, but for those that are transformational, pierce the hearts of the listener. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome to our new series, Patterns. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing something we haven't done this in as long as I can remember in a series that I've ever done. We've done dozens and dozens of series over the years. Some of those have been focused on people, the Bible. Many have been topical sermons. We've, of course, gone through the cycle of Easter and Christmas. And recently, we have dedicated weeks to do a thorough walkthrough of specific books of the Bible, or in the case of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. Exciting adventures. But what we're going to be getting in today is this journey toward is a little different. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be studying in depth two verses. That's right, I said two verses. And of all these verses we could pick in the entire Bible, you might be wondering how in the world we landed on two. Well, it's because these two verses have the power to transform who you are today and who you may be going forward to or toward tomorrow. I'm not exaggerating about that. Studying these two verses and understanding them fully has the transformational power to change the trajectory of your life. So I want us to read them all together. You ready? Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I knew you were either being very obstinate by not reading that last part, or that quite often just inside baseball, when I write a verse that's too long, Jamie will put it on two slides, and that's to her credit. So anyway, so I'll be honest with you. On the surface, these verses don't sound that transformational. I mean, there's nothing in here about the love of God. There's no hint about the sacrifice that Jesus made with his life and his resurrection. There's not even a mention of eternal life. So what makes these so significant? It's because the writer, Paul, is addressing the topic of patterns. Now, when I say patterns, you may hear us say throughout the series that or habits, those two words, habits or patterns. And we might mention cycles. But it's all the same. Okay, patterns, habits, cycles. And patterns are hard to break, would you agree? For me, it's crunchy cheese at Cheetos. I'll sniff out a bag from hundreds of yards away and I'll do some damage on that bag. Not healthy at all, but plus I get orange fingers to boot. But we all have patterns that we fall into. Some people have developed a lifelong smoking habit. That was a habit that I had at one time, and that was a difficult thing to get out of. Some fall victim to sweets. It's easy to immerse ourselves into binge watching our new favorite show or waste a weekend away watching that show. Some of us can't function to begin our day without coffee. I don't think that's somewhere. Maybe I'll take that one out there. Maybe we can disregard that one. But it is a pattern. It is a pattern. You decide if it's healthy or not. Other patterns are less harmless. Some of you may have a specific time that you start your day and that you end your day. We learn and follow patterns we don't even think about, like which way the toilet paper goes on, or whether you put water on your toothbrush before or after you put on the toothpaste. Okay, see? You're convinced that there's a right way because you formed a pattern. Today we're going to focus on Paul's words by focusing on just the beginning words of chapter 12. He addresses patterns. Here they are again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. It seems like kind of a weird to cut that off, that scripture right there, doesn't it? it doesn't even look like a complete thought. But this is where we're going to focus today, because Paul is telling us something important, very important, with just these few words. Paul uses the word urge to drive home the point of what he's going to say. He's highlighting the severity and importance that we realize, first word, that we realize the power patterns and habits have in our life and on our life. Make no mistake, Paul is saying we will fall into patterns. And he's telling us, almost screaming, that we grasp the severity of what he is about to say. In other words, I need to realize patterns are part of human nature and they have the power to be life-draining or life-giving. So patterns are a part of your human nature. Paul's never telling you to not have patterns. But he's saying there are life-draining patterns, there are life-giving patterns. You choose which one is best, yeah. We form both good and bad patterns, right? And spiritually, to understand them, I want to focus on what we learn about God from the Bible and from biology as to how we are wired. First, let's start with the good and what we can learn about God. In the calling of Moses, God presents himself in the form of a what? Burning bush, that's right. And Moses asks a question I think most of us would want to answer to, would want the answer to. Okay, Moses says, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what's his name? And what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Whew. Okay, that name, I am, says a whole lot. It gives us an image of an indestructible, indescribable God. God is eternal. God is constant. God is steadfast. God is faithful. Ba, 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 ba. Just, he is. God is the same as he always has been. He is, was, and always will be. There's a certain sense of predictability and maybe comfort knowing what you get when you begin to understand and follow God. Look at God's creation. We know we can count on the sun rising and falling the same each day. We can predict with precise accuracy the revolution of the earth around the sun to complete a year. And all living things can count on these things too. Birds migrate to the south for winter. Bears hibernate. Bugs come out in the spring. When the leaves start to change colors, we get ready for football season. God created order. God created patterns that we can count on. And it's biologically how we are wired. The way your brain works, how you function, is because your brains are wired to create patterns for one sole purpose, and that one sole purpose is to help you preserve energy. There are things your body does instinctively. You eat, you breathe, you eat, you sleep, because your body needs that to survive. But your brain is also constantly looking for ways to store energy for when it's needed. It looks for patterns. It looks for repetition and habits that it can write scripts for, that it can rely on later to repeat when you need it. Think about what it's like to learn something new. While you are learning, it's hard. It's complicated. It seems like you're hitting your head against the wall. It often takes intense concentration. It takes a lot of work. But once you've learned the task, it takes much less effort and less complicated. How does that happen? Because learning is a process of becoming patterned. It's why when you're first learning to drive, you check the mirrors and check the dashboard. And sometimes I'm really preaching myself here, so this is good. You learn to turn the key just enough to engage the starter, right? But not so much as to grind it. You put just the right amount of pressure on the accelerator to start the car, but not to rev the engine too high. learning to use the brakes, the turn signals, looking before you change lanes, all of this has been mastered because your brain has written scripts so that you don't have to relearn it all over again each time you get into a car. Well, and after a while, driving becomes second nature. The car becomes a space where you can do lots of other things too, like put on makeup and eat food and maybe make a phone call. All of which is being a distracted driver and not wise to do. But your ability to learn patterns allows us to do more things than we could do otherwise. It's how your brain works. It's also why being, you ever thought of this, why being stuck in an airport is exhausting? Think about that. If you're ever stuck in an airport, a delay is exhausting. Sitting in an airport requires no energy. You're not doing anything. You literally sit and wait. But your brain, you know what your brain's doing? Is constantly scanning, constantly processing to try up, find a pattern so that it can't, so it can shut down. My brain says, hey, what's going on? And as you wait and delays get extended, the frustration of the unknown drains your energy because your brain is sucking all the energy out of your body. The way you're wired is about developing patterns. This has been the case for as long as humanity has been around. It's biological, it's physical, it's spiritual. If we look at the Bible, the Old Testament is the story of the Israelite people filled with patterns, mostly bad ones. From the time of Moses to the reign of King David, a bad pattern is repeated. Here it goes. Turn away from God. God allows. Israel cries out. God sends a judge. Israel repents. Pattern repeats. If you read the Old Testament, you will notice that pattern is there. This is the pattern found in the time of the judges, when leaders and prophets were sent by God to help Israel turn away from their bad patterns. This pattern is repeated at least 7 times in their history over the span of 200 years, maybe 400, where Israel found itself trying to live according to their own rules and falling into bad patterns. In other words, when they did that, they drifted from God. That same pattern carried into the reign of kings for several hundred more years. Israel wanted to rule itself. They wanted to live by their own rules. And that ushered in a period of good times and a period of bad times. Now, we can look at those stories and their tendencies and see the error in their ways, but often it's difficult to see that perspective in our own behaviors. If we're honest, many bad patterns are sinful behaviors that take us down an unhealthy path. So when we are rebellious and want to live by our own rules, we need to realize that those patterns are life-draining. That's what Paul's addressing here in the beginning of Romans 12. He actually says this very same thing a little earlier in Romans. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. It's really why God gave his commandments and laws to follow to begin with. Not because God is uncaring and controlling, but God's laws are there to help us identify the unhealthy patterns that have taken root, and he wants us to see the alternative that he has that is life-giving. And one of the dangerous patterns we can fall into is the same that the Israelites fall into, fading and drifting from God and leaning on our own self-reliance. So here's the question. Does fading or drifting lead to bad habits, or do bad habits lead to fading and drifting? I'm not sure we can really ever know the answer to that. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg, right? But here's the good news in the scripture we're looking at today. God has wired me with the ability to develop life-giving patterns. That's all we need to know. Here's what I mean. Earlier I mentioned that our brains form patterns. It's writing scripts for us to make things, to use less energy. It preserves energy so you don't have to learn those patterns over and over again, right? That's the script that's written. So it's like learning how to tie your shoes every day. I'd hate to have to learn to do it this, you know, do it over again every day. But there's also something else that the brain is capable of. I'm going to throw a big science word at you. Are you ready? The word is neuroplasticity. The neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to form new connections and pathways to change how it is wired. Ooh, that's good news, isn't it? Neuroplasticity gives you the ability, no matter what your age, to learn a new language. Even simpler, if you take the same route to work every day, you know you hardly ever have to think about it. But when there's road work, oh, Lord have mercy. This is the most relevant message ever is today. I talked to a friend of mine in my Saturday morning group who said, I went just blindly going this way and I ended up in Lowell and I had to come back around. And yeah, it's just you can't be on autopilot nowadays. Maybe in 3 years we can. But with that road work, it tells you you can't go that way. You start thinking, the visual map pops up in your head, but you've got to learn that new route. And let's say you find that that route's better. Coincidentally, Ilsa said that the M6 exit to 96 is open, and we just rejoiced as a family. It was because she has to come home from that way, and she was able to use the exit. It was so that new way that she'd learned is quickly abandoned, as I'm telling you. The neuroplasticity shot right back to M6. But your brain is going to rewrite the script for your new way to work and replace the old one because it's better, maybe, in this case. But that's exactly what Paul's writing about here in Romans. If you glance back at chapters 9 through 11, Paul gives a detailed history of the bad patterns that Israel fell into. It's actually a great Cliff Notes version of the Old Testament history, if you'd like to read them. He tells the reader, we are prone to fall into the pattern of our ancestors. That's where sin leads us. And as he transitions his thought to chapter 12, see what he's done? He set the stage in 9 through 11. He transitions in chapter 12 with this verse again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, therefore, in light of what we just talked about, in light of the proneness to develop bad habits, in light of the proneness to fall into the same patterns, there's another option. God wired you with the ability to change. Our brains can throw out the old patterns. It has the ability to create new patterns. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to develop these new life-giving patterns. So in light of all of this, I have a critically important homework assignment for you this week. Share this with your small group, with your accountability partner, with your best friend. Share this. Do my patterns pull me closer to or further away from God? Let's contemplate that for a minute. Can you be brave enough to say, you know me, you know what I'm like, are my patterns pulling me closer to God or shoving me away from God, drawing me away from God? Patterns aren't bad. That's why it's such a beautiful mosaic. The patterns that are life-giving are something that we need to aim for and strive for. I'll invite the worship team up to take communion first. We'll take communion by coming up the center aisle as always, but I just want us to remind ourselves, this is a pattern, right? Every time you do this in remembrance of me. You don't think that's intentional? You don't think that Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you basic elements. This is not magic bread and magic juice. This is basic elements, life-sustaining elements. So every time you do this, remember Jesus, that means you're going to remember him a lot. It means that those patterns are going to be happening more frequently and more life-giving. There's nothing more life-giving than sharing the body and blood of Christ together. Nothing more life-giving. Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this time of communion, Holy Communion, where we celebrate the elements and bless these elements as bread and juice that become the body and blood of your Son, Jesus. We ask that we become closer together as a body of Christ, that our focus is on you always, that we remember you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night before he died, It was a Passover meal that the disciples and Jesus had shared before. It wasn't, in their eyes, unusual. But during that meal, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, given for you. Take and eat. Every time you do this in remembrance of me." And at the same time, he took the juice, the wine, poured it, passed it around the table and said, "Every time you drink of this, this is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. This is the symbolic salvation of your soul and the souls of many. So every time you drink this, drink and remember me." Father, we do bless these elements. We do bless the people that are about to partake. Come to the table, all you who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.